It's the Bengal Financial Literacy Show coming up next on KISU FM Radio with our host, Chris Chatwin, professor with the Idaho State University College of Business.
Support for KISU comes from Lookout Credit Union, the Southeast Idaho credit union that has the educational community in mind. It provides financial solutions to ISU students, faculty, staff, alumni, as well as local school district teachers, students, and many others. Lookout Credit Union currently has 2 branches and 7 ATMs on ISU's Pocatello campus for immediate access when required. Lookout Credit Union, formerly ISU Credit Union, continues the legacy of serving the educational community.
Thank you for joining us for this month's episode of the Bengal Financial Literacy Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Chris Chatwin, coming to you from KISU Studio at Idaho State University. My guests today, Riley and Parker Nielsen. Nielsens, how are we doing today?
Doing good.
Doing good.
That's good to hear. Now, before we get to the Nielsens, I want to provide a couple of brief updates from some things that were talked about on the last podcast concerning the student loan debt forgiveness. So providing brief update, now here we are recording and airing originally October 17th. So whenever you hear this, it may have changed. But as of right now, the website where the application is located for the student loan debt relief is not yet up and running fully. It was projected that would be ready by early October, but they're encountering several challenges in that, including potential lawsuits, and as mentioned on the last program, some governors that are signing a petition against that student loan debt relief. However, as of right now, there is an application available. It is in beta form, which means it's still being tested, so not yet fully operational or fully functional, but studentaid.gov is the website where you can check that out. At least get familiar with what you're looking at and learn more about the potential student loan debt relief for when that does become fully available. Other thing to keep in mind, anytime there's any type of a program like this, anytime in and around tax returns, other government grants and other things that become available, there's always potential for scams. So if you get a phone call or a letter or come across any potential website that is trying to charge you a fee to fill out your application, please note that there is going to be no fee for doing this. It is 100% free. All that information that you need at studentaid.gov. And again, just want to make you aware of all of that so that you don't fall victim to anything you shouldn't. Other update, we are still in planning for the Bengal Financial Literacy Week to take place in April of 2023. So we're looking forward to that, and we'll keep you in tune as we get more information made available. So with that being said, let's now turn some time over to the Nielsens. Parker, Riley, welcome to the podcast. Glad to have you here with us.
Yeah, thanks for inviting us.
We need to know a little bit about you. So who wants to start there?
I think Riley should start there.
All right. So we're married. That's why we have the same last name.
That makes sense.
We're both from Pocatello, so we go to ISU, obviously, and we're both in the College of Business. I'm studying management, and Parker's studying finance. So we have some classes together. Parker helps me with my homework, and he doesn't cheat off me too much. So, yeah, it's a good time.
Good time. Yep. Good time at the College of Business.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, fun fact, we actually played on the same second grade soccer team when we were kids.
Oh, really?
Yep. And we never dated in high school, but it just worked out.
You've known each other ever since second grade, or was that one of those things that you find out after the fact? And it was like, oh, you were there, I was there?
We've known each other ever since, yep. So okay. We've kind of been around each other our whole life, so it's kind of cool. And then yeah, now we're both here and we're both studying the same thing, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, fantastic. Now, I've had the privilege of having you both as students. I've invited you here for a very particular reason. What is that reason? Let's tell the folks why you're here.
Yeah, so we're in a class with Dr. Street, in the College of Business. It's a small business and entrepreneurship practicum class. And really the whole point of the class is to come up with a business idea to then pitch at a U.S. bank pitch off in December, where they give awards to the best ideas. And our idea is to come up with a personal finance type game to help teach to middle school, high school age kids. And so we don't have a finished product yet, but we're just in the process of gathering ideas, putting game strategies together, and trying to find a way to teach personal finance to kids in a way that's fun. So that's our idea, and yeah, that's kind of why we're here.
Okay, well, as somebody who teaches personal finance, I absolutely love this idea of trying to make it fun. Love the idea of trying to get the youth or, you know, certainly anyone at a younger age to start to pick up these habits. So I love this idea. I love where you're going with it. Why or what sparked this? Why this idea of teaching personal finance?
Yeah, so really the class is really interesting. You can take it any way you want. You just have to come up with a business idea. And so we kind of came up with a bunch of ideas, and we kind of had a hard time at the beginning figuring out what we wanted to do. We knew we wanted to do something together because we were in the class together. Business
makes
partners
sense.
Only makes sense. We don't want to compete against each other. So
the worst part of group projects is making sure you like your group members. So I'm assuming you guys like each other.
Yeah, that is
one pro of having classes together.
Yeah. Yeah, so Parker actually had the idea of making a game. Our family is really big in games. We like playing games. It's a good way to connect and strategize and learn things. So we're like, okay, well, let's do a game, and kind of started thinking of ideas of what kind of game. And then Parker, being the finance guy that he is, loves finance. So he's like, why not do a finance game? And so I'm in the College of Business too, so it just made sense to do a business finance game. Mm-hmm. So,
and I'll just add to that too. I think we saw a need for it as well as we were kind of thinking about this as an idea. I mean, like you said, you know, you're all for personal finance for youth, and we just feel like there's a huge need for that with the youth and the young people of today, and that there's really a lot of misinformation and bad ideas out there when it comes to finance for kids. And so we want to try to help prevent that and give them something good to grasp when they're young.
I love that. Yeah, I absolutely love that idea. I'm with you on that. There's such a need for learning these things. Just developing habits maybe is the best way to put that. It's funny, you know, my children obviously know what I do. I talk to them a lot about finances. My wife and I will sit down and do things with them to try and help them learn, like budgeting to buy the lunch, you know, what they're going to put in their lunches. My wife took them all to the grocery store one day and, you know, had told them, here's how much you get to budget, and you get to pick what snacks are going in your lunch. And they got to develop that idea. One Christmas, the thing they got the most excited for was we kind of developed their own personal budget. They were going to get paid to do some simple things around the house. So kind of like getting paid for doing their chores. But then on the flip side, they actually had to budget that to buy back some things. So if they wanted to, you know, have a little time on the tablet or watch a TV show, they needed to know, how do I budget for that? And I have to pay for that. So it's really interesting seeing, I think, children sometimes, the things they do get interested in. Now, of course, my children eventually lost interest in that. So this idea for a game I love. So where are we at in that process? What are we thinking as far as this game goes?
We didn't know exactly what the process of coming up with a game would entail. And it's definitely a little more complicated than we had thought. And so we have a potential gameplay kind of planned already, but it's kind of like still ever changing. Like each day it's like, oh, I think we should do something like this instead, or we should change this element of it. In general, I'd say where we're at is we know we do want something that teaches the basics of personal finance and kind of along the terms like you were saying, like saving, budgeting, helping kids know that there's more to money than just you earn it and then you turn around and spend it. That there's a lot of stuff that goes in the middle, like budgeting, saving, investing, also giving. That's an element of money. And so we want to put those aspects in the game and really have that be a part of the game. But like we said, we really want it to be fun. We really want it to be a game that the kids feel more like they're using their strategy and they're using their smarts to win. And then that kind of subliminally, they're learning these personal finance concepts. Because I don't know if this will make sense to anyone, but I think of a lot of money and finance games as like chocolate covered broccoli, which I don't know if that makes sense to a lot of people, but it's like, oh, it's a game, like it's fun, it's the chocolate. And then you open up the game and it's broccoli, like it's not fun. You play it one time because your parents or your teacher made you play it, and then you never play it again. So that's the biggest challenge we have, is how do we get a game that teaches some of this stuff, but it's also like, let's play that game, you know, kids want to keep playing it. So it's a challenge for sure, but I feel like, and we had talked to you before this, Chris, and you'd given us some good ideas. Like, we're definitely progressing, and I feel like we're getting closer every day, so.
Excellent. Chocolate-covered broccoli.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody likes broccoli.
Yeah, no one likes broccoli.
Nobody likes broccoli, but we all like chocolate, probably a little too much. So if we can find, how do we mix the healthy with the fun, I agree with when it comes to the finances. So let's talk about this word budget. A project I've been working on, a paper, potential research paper I've been working on, is centered around this idea of budgeting and how it's really not a fun word. I mean, what do you guys hear? Like, when I tell you budget, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
I just know there's a stereotype with it. It's budget's no fun, stingy.
Yeah.
Well, I've taken your class, Chris, so I know budgeting is a good thing. So I have a positive notation with a budget.
You've been paid to say that. I mean, we hear the word budget. This is what I've experienced, you know, in my career, in my consulting career, and then obviously in teaching and coming across a lot of students. It's, we hear budget, and we immediately think of it as this restriction. And so I think, one, obviously, if children, youth, even adults, you know, if you pick up a game and you can start to, as you've mentioned, strategize. Okay? If there's a strategy that goes into this game that is also fun, and then you start to subliminally realize, oh, I can do this in my personal life, I think is very powerful. The idea I've been researching is this idea of if we have a fun category, so to speak, in our budget. So something we're purposefully planning for, so that budgeting kind of becomes that, here's what I can do, or here's what I want to do with my money, so that I can have all these other things that I really want, as opposed to, here's what I can't do. I can't do this, I can't do that, so as it being a restriction. So I love that idea of, A, in a fun game, developing budgeting habits. Now, spending is fun. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys like spending. I like spending.
Yep.
We all do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how do we make spending both fun, but how do we be responsible in it?
Yeah. Well, first, I think that's so cool that you're kind of studying and working on that, sort of the budget term, and helping it be more of a, having a positive connotation. I feel like that is the goal of this game, is to try to help the kids find out that they're the ones who are going to make their budget. And so if they want a budget to, you know, buy a bunch of, like a bunch of toys, or maybe to have a lot of money set aside for soda or for lunches, right? Like, that's totally fine.
So like, the soda you say because you took my class.
Yeah, that is true. That just came out because Chris loves soda.
I've been doing really well staying off the soda, but I do enjoy my soda.
Yeah. So. But that's the point, that You are the one in control of your budget, and so it's not saying what you can and can't spend on. You're the one who gets to decide that. So, for, you know, if your budget involves soda, that's totally fine. You do you, you know. And this is kind of switching gears a little bit with the budget. And we were talking about this, and as we're coming with ideas for our game, the word budget is such a, like, it just sets off alarms in people, you know.
Yes.
And so we're almost wondering if. Because really, budget is this, it's essentially just means like plan, you know? It's just making a plan. You could essentially just say, all right, make a plan with your money, and it's the same thing. And so I think we're going to have to think about if maybe how we term things in our game to maybe not turn kids off with the word budget. But at the same time, I also kind of just want to give them exposure to the word budget, because I'm also a believer, like, it's not going away. Like, you got to learn that budget is a good thing. So we're kind of torn on that. Like, can we give them exposure young to the word budget in a positive way?
Yeah.
Or do we just say, just make a plan with your money, because it's the same thing?
Yeah. I love what you're thinking there. Yeah. I mean, who knows? You guys might make it rich off game sales and off of inventing new words. Okay? I mean, these things might start trending. Who knows? But actually, I love that idea because, yeah, you're right. We've got these things that we've always called it, budgeting, right? Spending, although spending's fun. But planning. Planning kind of puts into your mind a greater purpose even. Mm-hmm. So I like that. Okay, so in the game, ideas, so kind of basic financial concepts to plan around. Planning, budgeting, how we spend or how you allocate those funds. You mentioned giving. So where does giving fit into all of this?
Yeah, we haven't really solidified how we're going to do the giving part, because it's kind of hard to do that in a game, because it's like, well, you want to win the game. So like giving kind of sets you back a little bit, you would think. So that's still in the process of kind of formulating for us. But we definitely know we want to make it an aspect, because it is so important. It's an important aspect of, you know, personal finance, because giving is... it makes you feel good, and it's a good thing to do with your money when, you know, you have a lot of money, which is hard for us to relate. But we hope, yeah, we hope. So
yeah, and I think it's just a principle that I feel like we live by, and so it's just something we feel like is good, and that's just our personal opinion on it. But kind of the notion that, I guess there's a saying kind of like, money won't change you, but it will just magnify what you are already.
I like that.
And so, like, if you're just giving a little bit, even if you're not making that much money, then if one day when you are making a lot of money and you're still giving, like, you'll be giving more, but, you know, it's more just like give a percentage of what you make, you know, give back. And so I feel like it's just a healthy attitude to have with money, being generous with your money. The more generous with you are with your money, and as you're smart with it, it's almost like karma. I don't know. Like,
sure.
It just kind of feels like it really does come back around.
Yeah, it kind of helps the world revolve in a lot of ways. In personal finance, we discuss these things. We discuss personal values, right? The idea of giving really does come down to personal values. And while there might be a potential tax benefit out of giving, that's really not the reason that people ultimately give. It comes down to their values. So I completely see your point and understand. In a game where maybe the object is to win, it's really hard to instill this idea of giving back. But it is a very important concept to learn in alignment with people's values. So what about investing?
Yeah.
How do we teach people to properly invest? I mean, are we going to have like a Reddit board so people are getting their advice from Twitter?
Oh,
Reddit,
yes. Everyone. Don't do that.
Yeah, please don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. You know, with investing, I think in the game, the main lesson we want to teach is, I feel like, delayed gratification. So in the game, there will probably be options of, oh, you can buy this now and get this. Or maybe you could buy this thing and not get as much now, but down the road, get a lot bigger of a payoff. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that's kind of the angle we're coming at it with the investing and investing in things for your future. And that could be, it could be investing in like stocks or retirement accounts, but it also could be investing in yourself when it comes, like, there might be options in the game to invest in school, invest in trade schools, different education. So things like that. If you want, I can go back to that question where you had talked about, like, how do we make spending kind of more fun in the game? Because I had a thought about that. With spending, like you said, it's fun for everyone, but sometimes with spenders, you can get guilty, right? Like, oh shoot, like, I just spent all that money, like, what was I doing?
Guilt,
yeah, buyer's guilt,
buyer's remorse.
I get that all the time.
Yeah, so hopefully another part of this game that can kind of teach a good lesson about spending is that if you plan to spend it, it's okay to spend it. And we always have to remind ourselves that too, like, oh, what, you know, why do we spend money on this? Or if an emergency happens, right, and you have to go into that emergency fund, you can sometimes feel guilty, like, oh, we're spending all our savings. Yeah. But it's like, no, you have this emergency fund for this reason, or, hey, you actually did budget for this, or kind of like you said, you have a fun category in the budget, or we have like a miscellaneous category in our budget because it's just, life just happens.
Yeah, I like that.
We're trying to take the guilt away from spending, which ironically only comes if you have a budget. So it's funny how it kind of all goes back to that. But
which is very true, right? If you have no budget, if you're not tracking it, how do you feel guilty until you really feel the financial pain? And then is it guilt or is it just like straight up remorse?
Yeah.
And what's the difference there? Because I definitely agree. I agree with everything you're saying there is you don't want to feel guilty about spending on the things that you've planned to spend on. And at the same time, life shouldn't be miserable. Life should be enjoyed. So if there's things that you love, then you should figure out how to plan for them and put them into your life. That requires responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And a level of which that for whatever reason, a lot of us don't want to do. Monitoring these things, having a sense of where things are going. I mean, it's difficult. And undoubtedly, like, I know there's probably lots of people listening to this and trying to relate it to their personal life and feeling like it's impossible for me to budget because everything I'm making is going towards my bills. Because unfortunately, that is the case for a lot of people right now, especially as we experience, you know, rising inflation and still some of these aftershocks of the pandemic and of the economy. You know, so many people are living paycheck to paycheck, but I think we can feel better about that and better prepared for that if we are more aware of what's going on. And if that means it's a game that starts those small steps to get us to learn, I think that's fantastic. I really love the idea of developing a game that can be played by families, can be played in schools. Now, every state is so different in kind of where they're at on their financial literacy. And there's also a million different ways of measuring that. But currently in Idaho, I think high schools are required like one economics credit in high school. And as part of that, a small portion of it pertains to personal finances. But really, I mean, it's kind of bare minimum. There's no required personal finance course in Idaho, even here at the university level and at many universities, there's no required personal finance course. So if they're not getting it in school, they need to get it somewhere. And I think a game's a great place to get that.
Yeah. I mean, most kids, where do they get their financial advice or how they act with their money? They learn it from their parents or their friends, right? Mm-hmm. And I wish the whole world was made up of finance professors or people like you, right? Like you're talking about teaching your kids and making it fun for them. But not every parent's out doing that.
And that also doesn't mean that we're perfect at it either, which is,
yeah,
you know, why I think
true,
me
yeah.
having a game would be an awesome thing for my children and for me.
Yeah, because then parents don't have to do it alone.
Yeah.
Then the parents who are trying, they get some extra help. And then the parents who really, for whatever reason, can't help, you know, this game could really help them. And so we feel like it would be really good for schools and for families. And because we do wish, you know, personal finance classes were required in high school and college, but we're not really there yet.
There are options. A lot of places.
We're just like, well, how do people learn and have fun? And it's a game. It's simple, but yep.
Parker Riley, I'm excited that we get to talk about this a little bit as it's in its beginning stages. I'm excited that the three of us get to continue talking about it outside of the show. Really look forward to everything you guys develop with it. Wish you the best of luck in the U.S. bank pitch off. Hey, who knows? Maybe somebody's listening right now who's like, that is a fantastic idea that I'd like to get behind. So if somebody's listening, you got to reach out to the Nielsens and let's see what we can do to make this the ultimate reality. So thank you so much for being on the show. Appreciate you having the time to be here. A couple things I just want to leave with our listeners. There's obviously lots of websites out there where you can obtain financial information, help with different topics. A couple quick ones. Here in the state of Idaho, the Idaho Department of Finance has a financial literacy tab, lots of different videos and resources there for anyone who's listening that is anxiously awaiting this game that they get to play with their families, but is so excited to get going on learning stuff that they want to jump to that website. So that's the Department of Finance, Idaho Department of Finance. There's also the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. That's just consumerfinance.gov. Again, lots of different resources there. Those are a couple of good resources. Again, lots of different resources, but recommend those to our listeners. Parker, Riley, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, yeah.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
The Bengal Financial Literacy Show, hosted by ISU's Chris Chatwin, can be heard on the second Monday of every month at 7 p.m. here on KISU. You can also hear this or all past episodes of the program at kisu.org/programs.
Support for KISU comes from Lookout Credit Union, the Southeast Idaho credit union that has the educational community in mind. It provides financial solutions to ISU students, faculty, staff, alumni, as well as local school district teachers, students, and many others. Lookout Credit Union currently has 2 branches and 7 ATMs on ISU's Pocatello campus for immediate access when required. Lookout Credit Union, formerly ISU Credit Union, continues the legacy of serving the educational community.